Okay, ladies, I'm talking to you right now. Are you feeling any kind of change in your body that comes with perimenopause or menopause? It can be a time of transition, but Happy Mammoth understands the journey and is here to make it easier for you. They've crafted Hormone Harmony with a deep commitment to using science-backed ingredients that work specifically for women, ensuring no compromise on quality. Look, I know what it's like to have those hot flashes to where you just want to rip off your clothes, crying at commercials, fuzzy-headedness, low libido, the list goes on. But picture this: waking up refreshed, feeling balanced, and ready to tackle the day. That's the experience Hormone Harmony aims to deliver. Happy Mammoth's dedication to women's well-being shines through in every aspect, from their ingredients to the results. Hormone Harmony incorporates scientifically supported herbal extracts known as adaptogens. The remarkable aspect of adaptogens is their ability to assist the body in adapting to various stressors, such as natural hormonal fluctuations that occur during a woman's life's journey. And here's something very exciting. For a limited time, you can enjoy a fantastic 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ICEBABY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, code ICEBABY for 15% off today. Take charge of your changing journey with Hormone Harmony from Happy Mammoth. Visit happymammoth.com now and use the code ICEBABY for 15% off. Embrace this stage of your life with confidence and comfort. Hey everyone, this is Lori Fetrick, and I have a special announcement right now, and that is this. So really pay attention if you can. And that is, if you go in and you rate and review my podcast, what I'm going to do is I am randomly going to choose one person per month. Yes, one person per month. I'm going to grab and I'm going to have you come on to my podcast, and we're going to do a rapid fire. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. It'll get some audience participation out there, and I want to give back. So this is me giving back to my audience. So please go rate, review my podcast, and I will pick at random one person per month to come on my podcast and do a rapid fire. So thank you so much, and go right now and rate and review. Hi everyone, I'm Lori Fetrick, and you are listening to Chillin' with Ice. And today's guest, I am so excited about. I actually met her at the New Mexico Comic Con. She is known to be, I mean, this, look at it. So here's the thing. I am stumbling on this a little bit because when I told people who I was interviewing today, they got so excited because she was April on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles show. The turtles, the turtles. And they were just like, oh my God, this is my childhood. I'm so excited. She has done so much more than that, though. She's known for so much more. She is known also for being Tandy on My Favorite, and that's Nashville. She is part of the entire Halloween series franchise. And I would like to introduce and welcome Judith Hoag. Thank you so much for taking the time for being on my podcast
Oh, are
today.
you kidding? I am so thrilled. When we met each other, it was like kindred spirits immediately.
Yes.
Immediately. I would have been, and you said, do you want to do the show? I was like, oh, I'll follow you anywhere. Of course.
Aw, thank
Of course I
you.
would. Of course
I
I
have
would.
been doing so much research on you, and I have found some fun stuff about you. But I mean, we're going to get into the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Nashville if we have some time, because I'm limited with you today. But
I
more
know,
than
I'm so sorry about
anything,
that. And
here's
if
my
you hear
question.
banging around, it's my contractors. We are doing a major remodel and
I can't hear a thing.
everything got sped up today. So suddenly they were doing floors and it got
Oh my God.
incredibly loud.
Well, I can't hear a thing, so that's perfect.
Good, good.
My question to you, how old were you when you decided that you wanted to become an actor?
Oh my gosh. I was little. I grew up in the age of the Brady Bunch, Mary Tyler Moore, the Carol Burnett show. I grew up watching I Love Lucy. So from a very young age, that was what I wanted to do. I originally had thought I wanted to be a Playboy bunny, but I realized that that was not going to be a solid career choice for me when my mom brought me into a room and said, "Tell everybody what you want." I think I was like four, maybe five. My grandfather used to have Playboys in his basement. And I love the way that they'd all dress up in their tableaus. Yes. And I thought that was great. And if I could look like a bunny like that, I was all in, even at five. And so my mom said, tell everybody what you want to be. And I told them that I wanted to be a Playboy bunny. And the entire room of adults melted down laughing. And I realized that they were not laughing with me. They were laughing at me. And that in that moment, it was like, oh no, I'm going to be an actress. And that was it. And I started telling people, and I don't know, I would imagine you're kind of the same way. Correct me if I'm wrong. If you tell somebody you're going to do something, you have to do it.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. 100%. And the more people you tell, the more you have to do it. And I knew that I was doing that to myself because it takes a lot.
So you put it out into the universe.
Young. What's that?
You literally put it out into the universe that this is what you're going
to
do.
Put it out into the universe.
This is what you're going to be.
It delivered. It was interesting because there was no in my, because I started so young and I had this vision, I never wrote the story of failure. I only wrote the story of success. The story of failure actually came after success came because now you had something to actually lose. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's kind of a paradigm shift and suddenly like you're in the hustle club.
Yeah.
The grind machine.
You have such a positive attitude and you've been in this industry for years. And I really do.
40 years.
I envy you that you are just an amazing actress and and you have kept this wonderful positive attitude. And how do you actually keep that up when the industry can be so brutal?
Well, I mean, that's it. What does not kill you makes you stronger. And so I am a person, I am not a religious person. I'm a very spiritual person. And so for me, from a very young age, it was like being on the hero's journey and on a quest. And I could see how my career and my life were, and it's like art and life were doing this always. And they held hands. And I saw the teacher that my career was, and I am a very curious person. And so I'm always observing human behavior. That's what an actor does. And I saw so many people in my industry being so miserable and so unhappy and so much in this competitive grind. And what I could see very clearly was that everybody was looking for approval outside of themselves, myself included. And I knew that that was just a dead end. And so the object of the game was I have to give myself my own approval. I can't go asking other people to validate me, even though I desperately wanted that. I just knew that I would never be happy. There was no shot at happiness.
Right.
Because they'd love you one day and hate you the next. And because it's so fickle. And I thought, I'm just going to use this as an opportunity to grow my foundation and who I am. And so I did that.
That is so
and
amazing.
I would say that I get more idealistic the older I get. Mm-hmm. Instead of less. I just will not let anybody turn me into a cynical, angry person.
So now let's take that and go back to when you did audition for the Turtles.
Right.
And I know I was watching some interviews and it wasn't an easy audition, apparently. It wasn't oh my God, here you are. Let's give it to you.
You know what? I would say Ninja Turtles, for me, that wasn't a really hard audition. I was doing a film at the time called Cadillac Man with Robin Williams and Fran Drescher and just some really wonderful actors. And I auditioned for Ninja Turtles and I basically got that job on the way home. And I really connected with the director. He did give me some direction that I was like, this doesn't resonate with me. But I knew if I didn't take the direction, I would never get the job.
Right.
And so, so I got the movie, and then they couldn't make the dates work with Cadillac Man, which was the movie I was doing with Robin. And then I lost the movie, but then I got the movie back. And it was definitely something that if you had told me that was what, 33 years ago, almost 34 years, which is astonishing to me because I feel like I'm a kid. And clearly I'm not. But if you had told me that we'd still be talking about this, that this would have anything, any resonance still in my life, I would have said, ha, 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 that's so funny. Really? You think that? Huh?
It's kind of like the Gladiators. We had no idea, how big that show was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, and,
well, cause look at you. You're like, you know, Amazonian cyber amazing people who we all just sort of go, how do I do that?
Aww.
I was gonna be like her.
Oh, that's funny. Cause I always went, how do I be like you? I mean, it's like, well, all these wonderful acting roles.
I think that's also another little bit of secret to my success. I'm an admirer. I'm not a competitor. Mm-hmm. The way that like an athlete is. Mm-hmm. Obviously there are times I'm competing against people for the same job, but I'm competing with myself.
Correct.
Always. Yeah. And I really try to take that out of the paradigm because I've seen it backfire on people in real time. It's sort of like the universe said, and this is why you don't, am I allowed to swear on this?
Oh, please. Please do.
This is why you don't motherfuck people because, I've had people do that to me and I've watched them implode because mm-hmm. I've always been like, cause it's not in my nature to do that. Mm-hmm. Or I catch myself when I am and I go, there's no benefit. You'll be doing this to yourself.
And it's so surprising to me because to me, I look at you and on an acting level, it's like, you're here, you're way up here. And it's like, you don't think that in the acting industry that, you know, it's like I'll audition for these little tiny bit parts here and there. And then I look at someone like yourself and you've had all these amazing roles and so much fun with it that you don't think about someone on your level actually even having that type of competitiveness between each other.
Well, there's a couple things. First of all, thank you. One of the things that, a couple things. Last man standing wins. So many of the women that, you know, I'm fortunate. I don't have to audition like I used to audition. Mm-hmm. I get a lot offered to me, but there are times where it used to be, you'd be in the room. Now everything's on tape. Occasionally, if you're really lucky, you'll meet somebody. And I miss those old days, but we had such respect for each other. We all knew that everybody was pretty much, you know, talent. Everybody had their own unique flavor, but everybody was pretty much at the same level. And if you were still there after all these years, women are really cool, or cool women are cool, mm-hmm. who celebrate and lift each other up.
Yes.
And compliment each other and mean it and do things to help each other. And so I didn't really have that. There was the occasional actress that would happen with, and it was always so interesting to me. I always used it as a masterclass in graciousness and kindness, and can I let my ego evaporate in this moment, even though this person is pushing against me really hard? Mm-hmm. Can I have the self-control to go back into the story, which is the reason why I'm there, the story of the character, of why I'm here in this room in the first place, and leave that bullshit in the waiting room.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ever wish for an extra hour in your day? I get it. The question is, time for what? I'm always thinking at the end of every day, oh my God, where did the time go? Can you imagine a life where time was unlimited? What would you do? Discover the power of prioritizing what matters most with therapy. It's not just about finding more time. It's about finding what truly matters to you. Unlock the secrets to a more fulfilling life. Embrace your priorities with therapy because your time is worth it. Make every moment count. Start your journey now. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ice today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ice.
The second thing is the industry will. So we just came through the strike and we saw that really a lot of the things was about how people, the networks, the film studios, they don't want to share. Mm-mm. They want to keep the profits. And then it just goes to that few people above the line. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I realized in the last couple of years and really around COVID, because we all got an opportunity to step back. And
yeah,
as I saw that I was really in this toxic relationship with this industry, mm-hmm, for like 40 years, because if it wants to make you believe that you don't have anything to offer that they really need.
Right.
And you're just lucky to take what they got. And so it creates this environment of lack and limitation. And I see it all the time with people in the creative arts, unfortunately. And I do believe that that's another one of the really big challenges, that if you can find your value outside of the industry, which really aims to keep you down, because then they don't have to pay you.
Absolutely.
You know, I just saw something with Taraji P. Henson talking about how she has to constantly break that ceiling and break that ceiling and break that ceiling. And I don't know her experience. I am not her. But I know that in her case that she sees it as something that has to do with, because she is a beautiful woman of color. Mm-hmm. I think it's industry wide. I think it doesn't matter what you look like or who you are, unless you're in this, not even a 1%. Because mm-hmm, I was in the top 3% where I earned a living for my entire career. Mm-hmm. But that they really intentionally don't celebrate your gifts and your talent, because then they'd have to pay for it. So, and it's like it's happening to everybody.
Oh, everybody. Absolutely.
Everywhere. In every industry now.
All over the place. Everywhere.
Yes. Yeah.
So now, have you ever had any pivotal moment in your life to where you went, you know what? I'm done. I'm out of the industry. I don't want to do this anymore. Raise goats.
I would quit all the time. Like, but I would quit for a day.
Okay.
A week. Yeah. I would, up until COVID. Mm-hmm. And I started to, when I came to Nashville to start shooting the series here, I got a chance to get out of LA. And that was a really important thing. That it is a very, I love California. I loved living there for so many years. I've noticed in the last 10 years, but really in the past 5 years, I think because it's so expensive to live there, people are grinding. Grinding, grinding. Nobody's really enjoying their grinding because it's so very, very expensive. It's so very, very competitive. There's so many things. And leaving that paradigm, I saw people who sat on their porch with a glass of wine and knew their neighbors and socialized. And it was just a whole different vibe. And I went, I want that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was doing Comic-Cons. Mm-hmm. Which in a million years, that was never a career aspiration of mine ever. I had to be dragged into it. I was not interested. I had a very dear friend of mine who said, you need to go and do this. I was getting a divorce. So I had two homes to pay for, my home and my ex's home and our children and all that. You know, I had a lot of responsibility. And so I got to meet my fans, and you see this out on the road, like the stories that you hear, the connection that you have with each other, their connection with us and with what we do, and me personally. I mean, suddenly I realized, like, I wasn't working in a vacuum.
Yeah.
I was working and making my little dent in the universe around the world in a way that my industry would not recognize.
You're inspiring people. And by people and by all the fans coming up and getting to know you and meet you and physically, hi, you know, and within 2 to 3 feet, you are such an inspiration. And that, by the way, your positive attitude is so refreshing. And people are just craving that nowadays, you know? And
I mean, when I met you, I felt it. Yeah. Like, I mean, people come up and I have real conversations with people because I can do small talk for a little bit and then I'm going to go, what's really going on?
Or who are you really?
Somebody comes up, you know, cause I'm sure you get it too. There's always somebody who comes up and then they melt down. They start crying. I'm like, there is a story there.
Oh yeah.
And it's always a really, it's a story of loss. It's a story of trauma. It's a story of something that's, mm-hmm. really challenging. And I like stop the line. It's like, everybody take a seat. Well, we're going to be a minute. We're going to be working on this. Just because I feel like I am the receptacle for the experience for the person. Cause I never assume that it's about me. I am the reflection of your experience.
I've heard that before. I love that. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I know that, we're going to talk a little bit real quickly here about my favorite show. And that was when I first saw you, I was like, oh, Nashville. And I was just like, so excited when this role came about. And I know that you said the script was amazing. You loved it. I mean, tell me a little bit about the experience being on that show. It was just so much fun to watch you. And I mean, the villains, the heroes.
Nashville was a life-changing experience in so many ways. It was the hardest I ever had to fight to get a job and to keep a job.
Got it.
And I was tested in every single way that you could be tested. And I loved the people that I worked with. It was very much a family, and all families are incredibly dysfunctional.
Yes.
It changed my life in the most beautiful ways. And it, I think coming to this city and being embraced the way that we were, having such an incredibly talented cast, we got to go everywhere and meet everybody. I mean, they basically gave us the keys to the city. It was so much fun. And at the same time, I was going through a divorce. I had a child melting down. They were all in LA. I was having an identity crisis. I mean, it was just everything. I ended up meeting the love of my life. I mean, it was 5 years of such intensity in the highest highs and the lowest lows. And I am so grateful to that show and Callie Corey and RJ Cutler, who they wrote it and brought it together, to Connie and Hayden and to Chip and to, you know, there were so many just absolutely amazing people. And I would say we had the greatest crew.
I get to ask this question because I was such a fan of the show. Hello, what happened to the last season? I mean, meaning that we were all like waiting and then blah.
Yeah, well, you know, there were, when the show was dropped by ABC, and ABC and Lionsgate, it was always a very tumultuous relationship with them. And then it moved on to Country Music Television, which was probably always from the start a better fit. Mm-hmm. But everything changed. The entire writing staff changed. The showrunners changed. The way that writers work is they get paid by the new characters that they create. Mm-hmm. So characters get dropped because nobody's going to make money off of it. It's kind of a, you know, I learned a lot on this show of, you know, I love my industry so much. The business practices of my industry, as we've seen highlighted, you know, in the last few years, and certainly through the strike, it's really out of balance. It really could use some course correction. Yes. And I'm not going to pretend that that is not the case. I'm done with playing that game. I will not be going along to go along.
I saw your, I did.
Play if you want to play, but I'm not going to pretend I'm not. I
saw the last post on X and it was like, really? I was 2 weeks late and all of a sudden now you can't vote.
Oh yeah. Well, that mind blowing. Was crazy. I didn't realize even that I was late paying my dues. I always pay my dues.
It doesn't even matter.
It's not a deal at all.
I mean, 40 years in the industry.
A major contract that we were going to be voting on. And they're like, yeah, you're 2 weeks late. It's like, go back and look at the history of me in this industry. I mean, I would say after COVID, we all lost our minds. I don't know about you. I can't keep track of anything anymore. It's really
It's
something.
Crazy. Well, it's almost like we lost that entire year to 2 years. Yeah. It seems like, you know, we go, what year was
and
that
also,
again?
You know, the industry adopted measures that I was not in, you know, I was not down with. And so, you know, I was definitely sidelined.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really quick, I know we're running on time now. Does social media really play a role with you right now? I mean, do you have to be on social media? Do you not have to be on social media? I mean, the level that you're at, do you want to be on it?
I would say I use social media. I don't use it as a platform to tell the world what I think unless I am talking very specifically about I try to stay out of politics. My friends, we will sit and talk politics. I don't do it publicly because I figure there's enough voices out there going at it. And it's so dissatisfying all the way around. I think we've all been disillusioned. I think we're all sort of, at least I am, going, what the hell is going on?
Well, I think a lot of us woke up.
Yeah, it was a massive wake up. And I feel like for social media, I use it to let people know where I'm going to be next. Mm-hmm. And then I also use it to highlight fans. Mm-hmm. You know, I have the unique and extraordinary pleasure of working with Debbie Reynolds. And when we did the Halloween Town movies together. And she was the one who, I mean, she traveled with pictures. She was always signing autographs. She was talking to everybody. And I remember one day, it took so long to get from our trailers to the set because she kept stopping and talking to people. And, you know, they're going, we need Debbie and Judith. We need Debbie and Judith. And I was joking with her and I loved her to death. And I said, oh my God, girl, you would pose with a coat hanger. And she looked at me and she gave me a look. And, you know, if Debbie gives you a look, you're going to, yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. And she said, Judith, you are nothing if you don't have fans.
Aw.
And I was like, well, you're an icon, you're Debbie Reynolds, you have fans, I don't have fans. And it really, like, I didn't realize like that was something I was, that I had, or mm-hmm. that I was supposed to embrace and take care of and invite in.
Yes.
And so I use social media for that exclusively. Very rarely do I do personal posts. Do I talk about, you know, I think I was listening the other day to somebody who was saying, you know, they missed movie stars because they lived behind this sheen of loveliness. And now mm-hmm. everybody posts their meals and what they think at the drop of a hat and the sheen is gone.
I always say we can see in J-Lo's closet now. So who cares?
You know, right, it's like, exactly. You know, And so I feel like nobody really needs to know what I think. You think what you think, and I'm going to love you for it. And I'm going to just be doing my thing over here and trying to. I feel like what's really needed right now are people who are willing to be bridges.
Judith, you're absolutely, what you're saying right now is so needed. It's absolutely insane. Stop fighting, stop bickering, stop saying I'm right, you're wrong. And since you're wrong, I don't want to talk to you any longer. We need the bridges. We need people to,
bridges.
You do you. You do you. I still love you. It doesn't matter what you're doing or what side you're on or what you believe.
And I have to say that when I moved to Tennessee, like when I decided to really just leave LA and move here, I had people, I was really living in a confirmation bubble in Los Angeles. There is only one way to think if you want to be in the club. And when I came out here, I met people who did not necessarily think the way that I thought. And they were so, they embraced me so much and were so open and were so willing to have a conversation. And nobody necessarily was going to change their position, except that everybody was really willing to have conversations with each other, really civil conversations. And what I found was, oh, we're not different. Like it's being portrayed that we are different. We're not. We're actually the same. We actually care about the same things. And when you sit down and break bread with somebody, you realize that we have so much more in common than not. And if we continue to let this media structure divide us and keep us apart and find more and more ways to keep us fighting, I won't do it. I'm going to just keep finding ways to find consensus and to find common ground, or to say, agree to disagree.
Absolutely.
Let's go have a beer, you know?
And that is the most refreshing attitude. And I love that. God, it's so fun to sit and talk and listen to someone like yourself. And I know that you actually started something called Wake Up Wednesdays, right? And
yes,
you kind of back and forth on that a little bit.
Yeah. And it was really about, it happened during COVID. You know, we had so much time and I saw so many people suffering, and I had one of those COVID experiences where I was in bliss. Mm-hmm. I was like living in my house is in the woods. I had every, you know, I've set up my life in a way that I it's comfortable. It's not extravagant. It's just a real lovely life. And I saw so many people who were really suffering and struggling and waking up and being, you know, when you wake up, it is one of the most painful experiences, because everything you thought you knew doesn't really sit with you anymore. And you don't know, well, who are you and what are you about? And so I just thought, I'm going to just start talking to people. And I really love engaging. And there's a part of me that goes, how I go back and forth with, am I going to keep doing it? Am I not going to do it? Because again, who cares what I think?
Everybody cares what you think.
You know?
That's what's so funny about it.
Like, oh, good. Your Pope's going to tell us her opinion about this. Like, oh.
All right,
you know, because all we get are opinions out there, and there's a part of me that goes, maybe it's just all better done in person, maybe. And then all of a sudden, I'll have this impulse where it's like, oh, I've got to say something about this,
right?
Because people are really struggling with this, and I'm all about what's our solutions.
So before I let you go, tell me about the nice little sign you have in your hallway. If you still have it in your hallway, life is always working out for me.
I do still have it in my hallway. And it's funny because my house is under construction and I keep moving my little sign around to like the next wall that hasn't been beaten up and drywalled or taken down. I do, because life works out the best for those who make the best of the way that life works out. I believe it was what's his name? He was a basketball coach. I think that was his saying. What's his name? I forget. Anyway. Not my quote. I heard it and I was like, yeah, everybody's dealt the set of cards that they're dealt. I see some people who have experienced horrific things that I cannot imagine, and they have built these absolutely beautiful lives. I see people who've also had traumatic, awful things happen, and they are just stuck in a cycle of trauma. And I feel like the resilience and the beauty of what is possible for each individual soul is something I will always champion and celebrate and try to shine a light on. And for those that aren't going in that direction, I bow before the grace of your path. I don't necessarily understand those choices, but I do wish the very best for everyone. And I think if we don't feel that way, we're really in trouble. We're at a precipice. Mm-hmm. And if we don't start really being champions of ourselves and each other, we're in trouble.
So the glass is always half full with you. And I love that.
Yeah. Even if it's empty.
Exactly.
I can imagine it.
Because it's going to be half full at one point in time.
It's half full. I figure life is an illusion. I can delude myself in any way that I want. I can either delude myself that it's all going great or it's all going horribly. And I think it was Einstein who said, you know, one of the most important choices a person makes, I'm butchering this, is life inherently safe or is life inherently dangerous? And depending on the choice you make, your life goes in that direction. And I'm going to go safe and beautiful.
I like that.
And now, I see, know there's danger around every corner, but whatever.
I always say your life is your own script. You're the hero in your story, or you're the villain in your story. You're writing it. You get to write your life the way you want to write it.
Right.
You know? And so it's just one of the things that a lot of people don't get it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of mind blowing to me, but you know, we can't save everyone, but I want to be very respectful of your time. I know you have a class and you're 5 minutes past, and I just want to thank you so much.
I can't wait. Till the next time we see each other, we have to make sure that we grab a little time, grab a cup of coffee or a martini or just hang out in the green room.
I would love that. And thank you so much. Oh, you don't even invite me, because I'll be on your porch probably in the next couple of weeks.
Don't come now. The house is, but once it's done, should be done in a couple more months.
I so want to get there. I've never been there.
Nashville's a great, you know, it's one of the cities that everybody's moving to.
I know.
Everybody should stop now.
See, there you go. You're like, all right, stop. Find somewhere else.
But I will say the quality of life here is, way better. And I love California. I think it's an absolutely beautiful state. My heart is broken for what's happening there.
Yes.
I just saw a video of Oakland, California today, and I thought, this reminds me of Soweto, South Africa.
It's absolutely terrible.
It's like a shanty town, and it's very, very sad. And you know, I do believe it doesn't have to be that way.
It doesn't. The only thing going for California right now, to be quite honest with you, is our weather. You know, and that's pretty much
it. You've been beaten up by your weather.
I know. as soon as the weather goes,
fires are going to start.
Exactly. It's flooding. It's fires.
Beautiful.
It is.
And wonderful people.
I tell my mom. I go, Mom, I love you, but the minute you're gone, I'm out of Cali. You know,
yeah.
I do. I'm out.
My kids are still there, and I've built a house where I've got enough room that if everybody needed to just show up on my door and come live with me, I've got the space for them.
Awesome.
I'm on, you know, 20 acres. We can build little cabins.
Do you have horses and cows and goats and chickens? And do you have the farm?
Yeah. Well, my neighbors certainly have those. I have two killer cats who've driven out every mole and chipmunk and squirrel for miles. Every day there's a new gift.
That's awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Judith, thank you so much. And yes, I'm sure that throughout this year, we will see each other again. Where you're at in the Comic-Cons. I'll come by your table. I'll grab you and say, I'm stealing her for 5 minutes.
Thank
you so much for taking the time on my podcast today. I know that we're crunch time, but thank you again. I so appreciate it.
My pleasure. I love you, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Bye, love.
Bye-bye. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Chillin' with Ice, and this is where legends live on. Thank you so much for listening to Chillin' with Ice. And don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe, and share wherever you listen to your podcast. Remember to follow us on Patreon and YouTube at Chillin' with Ice. And on Instagram and TikTok, you can follow me at lori.ice.fetrick. I look forward to chilling with you next time here on Chilling with Ice.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.